Hey, you want that to go?
Hey, you get your takeouts, stories we want you to be on top of this week. And we begin with Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Morning.
So help me out here. When a big financial company blows up, it always seems to happen on the weekend. Why is that, Louise?
It's the worst part of a business journalist's job. It's like, what calamity will happen this weekend?
And this weekend's calamity is CIT. We've talked about them before.
Right?
Essentially, a bank to small and not so small businesses.
A lot of retailers.
Has gone bankrupt just as the holiday retail season is beginning. Yikes.
Yep. So what's happened? They've been struggling for a few months. They've been trying to avoid bankruptcy, but they couldn't. And so they're doing something known as a prepackaged bankruptcy, which they're hoping will let them smoothly get through this so they can keep lending to all the mid-sized retailers out there that really depend on them. But it's a big question because usually in finance with banks, if you file for bankruptcy, the wisdom is you're done. You're toast.
Yeah.
No one's going to work with you. So this will be a very interesting thing to see if you can really survive as a financial company where confidence is everything, if you can survive a bankruptcy.
Well, it's one thing to keep the lights on if you're bankrupt. It's quite another to actually continue to borrow money.
That's the problem. I mean, banking is about confidence. Borrowing is about confidence. And if people think CIT isn't really going to make it through, they won't help fund CIT's operations.
Well, who are these clowns that gave a CIT $2.3 billion?
Well, John, that's our money.
Oh, right. Oh,
the taxpayer money. And we're already seeing in Washington a lot of pushback because we're losing the bailout money. The $2.3 billion put in CIT, it's gone.
So
we're
that
not
bankruptcy
getting it back.
Means this is gone.
That's it. We're not getting the money back. And so you've heard the politicians say that the bailout has been a good return with some companies like Goldman. It was not a good return with CIT. Over the weekend, we already saw politicians criticizing this, saying it's an indication that you shouldn't give the Fed more power and that you should end the bailout and all of these things. So this is definitely a black mark on the bailout.
Very quickly, are there alternative sources of credit for retailers gearing up inventories for the holiday season if CIT should just basically destruct?
So other banks do lend to retailers, but CIT is saying that the way they're doing this should allow retailers to keep on going. And remember, a lot of retail ordering is done in the summer before the holiday season. So a lot of it's already in place by now.
So maybe they've dodged a bullet. Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners at the New York Times, talking about the CIT bankruptcy. Thanks, Louise.
Thanks. Let's move on to sports with Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. So, okay, after 7 division championships he gave the city of Green Bay, after 4 NFC champion games and 2 Super Bowl appearances, they won one. This is how the people of Green Bay greeted Brett Favre this weekend.
Here comes Brett Favre in the Minnesota offense.
But it clearly didn't seem to diminish his prowess on the field.
Favre's out of the shotgun. Adrian by his side. Takes the snap. Back to pass. Looking right. He pumps. Now he fires. Caught. Janko inside the 5. Touchdown!
The first of 4 touchdown passes for Favre. He beat his old team, the Packers, 38-26.
So let's run it back a little bit. Brett Favre was there for 16 years. Like you had said, he won a Super Bowl. He took them to the Super Bowl. But he also, at the waning part of his career a couple years ago, it was going back and forth. Should I play or should I not play? Should I play or should I not play? Aaron Rodgers was his understudy. He was coming up. The Packers felt that they had a great quarterback, young quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and they were like, well, if you don't stay, then we'll go with Aaron Rodgers. Eventually, he did not stay, and then they went with Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre went to the Jets. They had a great early part of the season last year, and then he crumbled. His arm crumbled. He had to get surgery. Then it was another, should I stay or should I come? A little waffling back and forth. If he was a politician, he would not be a good one.
He's dithering, right?
Exactly. He's dithering. So then, now he comes back. He plays for the Green Bay's rival.
Trounces them.
Exactly.
The Vikings.
He beats them twice.
Yeah.
But the story yesterday was as much about the Vikings defense, which sacked Aaron Rodgers 6 times yesterday, which makes it, I mean, if Brett Favre was getting sacked 6 times, then the Vikings certainly wouldn't be winning 38-26. Another interesting part of it, there was a person was quoted, Stephen Bowser was quoted, he said, it was the most awkward cheering you'd ever hear. It was like being at a wedding with your ex-wife or something.
Oh,
because some people
that's painful.
Some people are rooting for Brett Favre and some people are cheering. It's a really difficult situation.
Weren't rooting right there. Let's check back in on some of the other games that you called last week. You said that the Miami Dolphins would look good over the weekend.
Well, okay, yes. The Miami that was a seesaw game in the Meadowlands.
With
it was
the
like
Jets.
A pendulum swings left and right, left and right. But the most exciting part of the game with Miami Dolphins, they won 30 to 25. Ted Ginn Jr. ran back two kickoffs for a touchdown. And the Jets scored when they needed to keep the game close. But still, Miami has allowed 73 points in the fourth quarter, but not this game. They stopped the Jets.
Giants got stomped.
The Giants, it was disgusting. The pass
it
rush.
It was disgusting. That's your takeaway.
The Giants were having their own November massacre in the first quarter, showcasing all the holes in his secondary and the weakness of their pass rush. The Eagles, Donovan McNabb, their quarterback, picked apart the Giants' defense the way the Phillies wish Cole Hamels had done in game three.
And finally, very, very quickly, you said that the Detroit would probably beat the awful St. Louis Rams.
I did say that.
You got my hopes up.
And it didn't happen, and I feel sorry for the city of Detroit, but I'm rooting for Matthew Stafford because he's going to be the reincarnation of Troy Aikman.
Okay.
But Detroit has a tradition to uphold, though, of losing, right?
That's enough out of you over there. Cut his mic, please. That's a Takeaway Sports contributor, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen.
Good morning.
So our last takeout is a pile of receipts from listeners. Last week we were following the money, federal stimulus money, and one trail led to Michigan.
This is Alex Campbell from Sterling Heights, Michigan. I have just got a new job 3 months ago, so my job was created because of the stimulus package. It's with a construction company. Thankfully, I have a job now. It doesn't pay much, but it's better than nothing.
Karen noticed this in her own neighborhood. She emails, our regional electrical and gas utility just announced a stimulus grant of $84 million to install smart meters. They send your usage directly to the company. The advantage to the consumers is the company will know if your power's out, even if you're not home, and dozens or maybe even hundreds of meter readers, though, are out of work now. There's going to be people employed short-term to install the meters, but all those people who read those meters, gone forever. What about that is stimulating, Karen emails?
Temporary jobs there. Randy in Union, Oregon emails us. There is yet a job to be had here in Oregon. As a resident in the rural part of the state, it seems that it's taking an unusually long time for the stimulus funds to result in any local work. Our communities faced plant closures in the manufacturing and timber industries. The holiday season's potential for employment seems to be a dry hand, too.
And the whole auto bailout chaos turned out to be a stimulus for more than just bankruptcy lawyers. The economic headlines turned out to be a job find for this Michigan listener.
Due to the arranged merger between Chrysler and Fiat and the assistance from the government, I was able to get a job because of that program, working on a joint program between the two companies.
Well, congratulations to that listener. And call Duncan's story here a case of trickle-up economics. I took advantage of the clean burn tax credits to buy a new Jetta diesel. I had not planned to buy a new car this year. My intent was to hold off one more year, but given the incentive and a desire to feed whatever money I could to the economy, thanks for that, Duncan, I jumped early. However, I'm not sure this really qualifies as beneficial stimulus because I now, of course, have an auto loan to repay.
We can't do anything about that, yeah. Duncan, but keep the responses coming at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can also email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.